The scripture lesson chosen for this morning is from Luke chapter 19, verses 28 to 40. The gospel according to Luke chapter 19, 28 to 40. Listen to the word of the Lord. After he had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he had come near Bethphage and Bethany, at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of the disciples, saying, "Go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' just say this: 'The Lord needs it.' So those who were sent departed and found it as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They said, 'The Lord needs it.' Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. As he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. As he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, order your disciples to stop.' He answered, 'I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out.'" This is the word of the Lord. I came across an article this week that sort of breaks my heart, and I could not stop thinking about it. It says, according to the Management Science Journal, excessive workplace stress causes a staggering 120,000 deaths and results in nearly $190 billion in healthcare costs each year. It's each year. And these are some of the harmful health effects of excessive stress: damage to key brain structures and circuitry, and reduced ability to cope with future stress, and increased anxiety and chronic depression, and the onset of post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD, reduced immune system functioning, and increased inflammation and depression. Even diabetes has been linked to stress. It's interesting in here. Yeah, the World Health Organization, which is WHO, has classified stress as the health epidemic of the 21st century. So how does this information make you feel? If you remember Bob Pierce, the founder of the World Vision, he once wrote inside of his the cover of his Bible, when he was in Korea seeing a lot of children without parents, because after war, so he wrote in the Bible, it touches his heart. He says, "Let my heart be broken by the things that break the heart of God." So he came back from there and started World Vision to basically to collect offerings to sponsor these orphan kids. And I'm sure this statistic breaks the heart of God today. It's not about the kids, it's about everybody. So does it break your heart? It breaks my heart. Do you remember that at the beginning of Lent, I mentioned that we will spend this season of Lent searching for God's guidance. And by Easter, we will relaunch our church in this new place with a renewed vision and a clear vision, a new renewed mission to serve the community from this place. To serve the community, we must identify and address the felt need of the society. What is the felt need now? It seems that the felt need is loud and clear that our society is suffering from excessive stress. Now, I mentioned that there are many things that happens, including the violence and the terrorism, is linked to those people with high stress. And the good news is that we are well equipped to address this issue. Our fruitful life model is perfect to heal the stressful society. Now, as I dig deep into the issue of stress, I realize that this is not a new problem. It has been a problem from Genesis, if we look back all the way since the beginning of humanity. It may have become intensified in the 21st century now, but it's not something new. The first century Israel might have the same level of stress like us. In the context of the first Palm Sunday, Jesus' triumphant entry to Jerusalem, people are suffering from excessive stress at this time. The Bible says about Jesus, when Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless and like sheep without a shepherd. People were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. That's excessive stress for sheep, right? Without a shepherd. Jesus wanted to be the good shepherd for these sheep. He wanted to be the king of the stressed out people. On Palm Sunday, he gave these stressed out people a moment of euphoria. But Palm Sunday is not the enthronement of his kingship. Palm Sunday is about his departure. In order to understand Palm Sunday, we must understand the first century custom under the Roman Empire. A king must be ratified by the Emperor Caesar in order to be official. For example, when King Herod died, his son Archelaus, would take the throne in Judea. Naturally, right? His son would take over. However, he could not officially take the throne without the permission of the Emperor Caesar in Rome. He had to go to Rome to be crowned as king in the temple of temple of Palatine Apollo. So the story has it that he went there, and there were a bunch of Israelites also went to Rome to protest, to ask the emperor not to crown him. But Caesar decided to crown him, and he came back. And as soon as he came back to Judea, he killed a bunch of people that opposed him. So in those days, the opposition group can go to Rome and protest or request the emperor not to crown someone who is going there to be crowned. Jesus explained to the disciples that his going to Jerusalem was for his departure. It's like going to Rome. If you remember the Transfiguration story, we just mentioned a few weeks ago, when Jesus took Peter, James, and John to the mountain and prayed, the Bible says this: suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. So it is about his departure. Jesus came to Jerusalem to depart to the authority to be crowned. And from then on, from the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus started his journey to Jerusalem. So Jesus' entry into Jerusalem is not for being crowned to be the king, but for the departure to receive the crown. Of course, he's not departing to Rome to receive the crown, but to God to be crowned as the king of the universe. We don't understand the divine plan or the nature of the kingdom of heaven, how it works. But Jesus is using the custom of the day as an analogy for his departure and return, so that people will understand why he left. And he wanted to make sure the disciples understand it. So if you read the read the context, just one passage before this Palm Sunday entry to Jerusalem, you will see a parable of the 10 pounds, and which begins like this. And a nobleman went to a distant country to get royal power, for himself, and then return. He summoned 10 of his slaves and gave them 10 pounds and said to them, "Do business with these until I come back." I'm sure you know the story, the rest of the story. You know, this nobleman went and came back as the king, and he asked his slaves and servants to account for what he has given them and trusted them. And you know the whole story. But the main point is that Jesus is using this story of a nobleman leaving his home country to go abroad to get the, you know, kingship. So right before he entered Jerusalem, he told this story. So he wanted the disciples to understand that he's departing to get the royal power. And so he planned to enter Jerusalem very low-key. He didn't enter Jerusalem on a war horse as a conqueror, because that's not the end. His entry to Jerusalem is not the consummation of his kingship. But he entered there on a borrowed young donkey. It's a symbol of peace and humility. However, the disciples didn't understand Jesus' intention. They didn't know that Jesus wanted to, enter Jerusalem with a low key. And they might have been triggered by the memory of Zechariah's prophecy that says the Zion's king would come to her riding on a colt. They put their garment on the colt and also on the road as a sign of homage for a king. And they started chanting joyfully. And they said, "Blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven." The Bible says they praise God joyfully with a loud voice. Obviously, Jesus' attempt to diffuse the euphoria by entering Jerusalem on a colt misfired. The stressed-out crowd is hungry to praise and worship God. You know, the sheep without a shepherd cannot wait until the return of the shepherd. Even though he hasn't been crowned yet, he is already a chosen one, a chosen king anyway. Why don't we just celebrate? They might be thinking this way. In a few days, they would have to face the biggest stress of their lives, witnessing the crucifixion of their master. They may have foreseen the excess stress that they were about to face, but they just want this one moment of excitement and euphoria they believe they deserve. You know, before the unforeseen thing comes. Jesus didn't stop them this time. It's unusual. He didn't stop them. In the past, he would ask them to be a little bit low-key and quiet. And because he knows that they were harassed and hopeless and helpless, like sheep without shepherd, Jesus had compassion on them. This is the last chance and they have this opportunity to celebrate. Last week we talked about Mary of Bethany pouring a pound of expensive perfume on Jesus' feet. But Jesus didn't stop this prodigal daughter. In the same way, Jesus didn't stop these prodigal disciples for being extravagant with their love, joy, and praises. Jesus knew they have too much stress that they need a relief. The best relief of stress is to worship the Creator because we are created to worship Him. However, some people didn't understand the joy they had. They wanted to suppress the excitement instead of joining the parade and praise God. The Bible says, some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Him, "Teacher, order your disciples to stop." He answered, "I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out." The first century Israel is about to explode with excessive stress. They were under foreign occupation, and their own king is corrupt and a corrupt minion of the enemy. And their religion, the leaders of their religion, is equally corrupt. If people, if their voices were suppressed at this time, the stones would shout out, as Jesus said. It means that the pressure is so high that even the nature is about to erupt. To understand this concept, we must see the entire universe as one. Everything is interconnected. It's one system. It's called systemic thinking, systems theory. The earth suffers when we suffer. The earth is renewed when human beings are renewed because the earth is created for human beings. Now, it goes back to the Beauty and the Beast analogy again. The salvation of us, the beasts, will bring about the salvation of the entire castle, which is the entire universe. As mentioned at the beginning, the World Health Organization has classified stress as the health epidemic of the 21st century. Jesus will be weeping again to see the suffering of this stressful world today, because 2,000 years after he trained these disciples and left, his followers haven't yet set people free from stress and suffering. Of course, it's a very deeper issue. If we come back, if Jesus, were to come back today, he would see people being harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. He might say the same thing again 2,000 years later. So Trinity, we have a divine calling today. Trinity's mission hasn't yet ended. We have work to do. We have a message of happiness for the hurting world. Each of you are a messenger. As you join the parade to sing with joy and praise God's name every Sunday, you also need to share that happiness with others. This is the last week of Lent and also the Holy Week. Next Sunday will be our first Easter in this new place. And it will be our revival Sunday. So invite your friends and family this week and bring them to join the parade with us. The crucifixion of Jesus Christ shows the level of stress in the society and the related anxiety and anger and hatred that made people did the unthinkable, crucifying somebody that has proven to be no sin. And this Holy Week, we need to think about the level of stress in our own society and the related anxiety and anger that could make people do the unthinkable. We heard many unthinkable things in the news every now and then. As Bob Pierce said, let our heart be broken by the things that break the heart of God. We must repent. Repent means change. Let the things that break the heart of God change us and set our heart on fire to serve our community and the world. May God bless you and have a very thoughtful Holy Week. Amen.